seeking the Lord's help for a little while this morning and your very prayerful attention, turn with me to the chapter we read, the book of Daniel, chapter 3, and we'll read for our text verses 16, 17 and 18. The book of Daniel, chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Well, a very familiar portion of God's Word, a well-loved book, the book of Daniel. We trust that we may be favoured to glean something and for the good of our never-dying souls this morning. We see in the response that these three Jews, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, gave to that command that they were to bow down to this golden image, that we see in them that faith. They were blessed with faith in the power of God. That which Nebuchadnezzar was brought to understand and acknowledge, that there is no other God, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And you and I, as we travel on through this waste howling wilderness, and we're brought into situations which often the world knows nothing of, the Lord is pleased to deal with us in a peculiarly, that is, as individuals, as he brings us into these various straits and difficulties. And yet, is not our testimony this morning, as we reflect on all the way that he has led us, that we could indeed echo, there is no other God, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And so, as we are very much preoccupied in our thoughts in that which is taking place in the Middle East, and the solemnity of war, and the loss of life, and all that's going on, we're reminded several years ago in Iraq and Babylon. Babylon, it was in Iraq, and Iran was known as Persia until, I believe, it was 1935. And so we think of these various things, don't we? And we see that as the Jews here, as the Jews were delivered, that we see this theme, that the Lord, that he tries the righteous, the Lord, that he tests his people, that the Lord, oh, that he's pleased that his people should suffer, that his people should be brought into things, and he doesn't deliver. He doesn't deliver them immediately, does he? That he proves us, doesn't he? He proves us. And as he was to prove these Jews, they were so faithful. But their faith is tried. And so as we think of these things, that we see this book of Daniel, and how that the first six chapters are of history, and then that wonderful prophecy, those wonderful prophecies in the last six chapters, in relation to Israel, in relation to the spiritual Israel, in relation to the end times that we are in. And yet that remnant which will be saved, a remnant that will be saved out of this great tribulation. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, he had heard of the interpretation that Daniel gave of his dream. And it almost seems, well, he did, wasn't he? He rose up, didn't he? He rose up in pride. As Daniel spoke to him of the meaning of that dream. And in his pride, he set up an image. He set up an image of gold. It was as though that I can do this in my own strength. I can bring everything to pass in my own strength. And such was his pride that this image, he forgets all about Daniel's God, Abednego, Meshach, and Shadrach's God. Oh, he will have them bow down to this great image of gold. He'd made Daniel a great man, hadn't he, when Daniel interpreted his dream? But oh, the power of the enemy. And you and I, we prove that, don't we? That he doesn't give us a lot of rest, does he? But oh, the enemy of souls, and he uses whom he will. And he used this Nebuchadnezzar to bring these Jews that had been promoted, that had such responsibility because they had honoured God. Oh, we have in the first chapter, don't we, of Daniel and these three men, and they wouldn't eat of that which was brought before them, and they were so polite about it all, weren't they? As we read in the first chapter and the eighth verse, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And so also were these other three. And we see their humbleness, their politeness, that they didn't get up on their high horse, as it were, that they were blessed with the Spirit of Christ. As they said in our text, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They were blessed with that which we read of in the sixth chapter, with an excellent spirit. And friends, and that we've had to prove, haven't we? We've had to prove that when we seek to take things in our own hands, when we seek to make a stand, when perhaps we're embarrassed because we don't feel we can compromise, and we come across in our own strength, in our own spirit. And what have we proved? We've made the matter worse and worse and worse, haven't we? But oh, dear Daniel, as he was favoured, as he faces the den of lions, and these three men, as they face this fiery burning furnace, that they're blessed with the Spirit of Christ, they're favoured with this excellent Spirit. And you and I, have we not proved? Have we not proved that when we're left to ourselves, a deliverance never comes? Never comes. And if it does, it's soon gone. But oh, to be favoured with the Spirit of Christ. To be favoured with that of a precious Jesus. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, that he makes this huge image. His kingdom's going to be taken from him. So he sets up in defiance this great image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, made of gold. Oh, Babylon was awash with gold. It was an incredible, remarkable city. Nebuchadnezzar, he reigned for, I believe it was 40 years. And every nation that he took on was subdued by Nebuchadnezzar. He never lost a battle. He was supreme in victory. And friends, and how these things, that the Lord might be pleased to bless you and I, that we can be left to ourselves, can't we? We can come into things, perhaps an opportunity arises, and we grasp it without going to the Lord. Perhaps subtle means have been used, like there was with this, to persuade all the people to bow down to this golden image, that music was used. And what a snare music can be, can't it? It can be a great blessing. But oh, how the music, as you get the repeat, and well, you know, I don't have to explain it all, and it gets into your head, doesn't it? It seems to take over. And so it was that he used this music. He unified. He sought to unify everyone. Oh, as music goes, and we can be wrought upon by whatever means it is, and it's this drip, drip, drip effect, isn't it? But oh, that these three godly men, they would not compromise. And that's it, isn't it, dear friends? As we look back on our lives, and we have to own, don't we? We have to own with godly sorrow, and we trust a humble, contrite heart as we seek forgiving love and blood. The number of times that we've compromised. But oh, what should be our response? That of dear Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Oh, there are important morals, aren't there? There are important morals. There's those things that come into our lives. Decisions that have to be made. We come to a crossroads. And which way do we go? Are we seeking the Lord, or are we going our own way? Family life, work, business. How often does conscience challenge us? Quite apart from what the Lord is doing, our conscience, we have a conscience, don't we? And we're challenged, and we have been challenged. Oh, things that we should have spoken up against. A point that we should have made. Oh, as we reflect. And if only I hadn't been left to my own spirit. And if only I had spoken as the Lord was leading me. The lack of love, as we think, we think really that it is of a precious Jesus, isn't it? That He who gave His life a ransom for sinners, and He calls us, we're called to be pilgrims and strangers, following in the footsteps of the Lamb. And how precious it is for Jesus' sake, isn't it, that we are favoured with the strength of this excellent Spirit, not to compromise. Well, and so as we think of those in our history that we think of, that we would have no Bible today were it not for the likes of William Tyndale. And as we think of him, that he's taken to the stake. And what are his final words? His final words are, "Lord, open the eyes of the King of England." There was no compromise there. And the Lord was pleased to hear that prayer. And in 3 years, the Bible began to become readily available in the church as decreed by the King. Well, these men, they knew, didn't they? They knew that their life was in danger. They knew that if they didn't bow down, there was the certainty of death. And what an awful, cruel death to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Today, solemnly, isn't it, the doctrines of grace are being compromised, and there are various things that take place in churches, which you speak to some who are in such a church, and they wring their hands and say, "Well, there was too many against it; we couldn't do anything about it." And as we hear of some of the things that go on. And we bless God, don't we, that we trust by His grace that we meet together in His house, and we love the doctrines of free and sovereign grace. We love to sing His worthy praise reverently. We love to hear the reading of the Word. We love to gather together in prayer. We love to hear the Gospel expounded. And as we plead, "Lord, speak to me." Oh, how we bless God, don't we, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And as with the Word is read, whether in our homes, around the family altar, at the workplace, in the house of God. Oh, what a favour it is, isn't it? We love the place, O God, wherein Thy honour dwells. And so, dear friends, as Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they were quite clear, weren't they? They didn't need to defend themselves. "We are not careful to answer Thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. But if not, we're subject to His will. Be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And so we think of that which we sought to speak of here on the first Lord's Day of this year in Isaiah. And that chapter from which our text was taken in chapter 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When? Today, perhaps. Tomorrow. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle against me. Oh, these three godly men, they know there's a furnace. But oh, blessed with living faith, they obey God. They obey the living God. Oh, to be blessed with such faith. Faith to believe. Submission to his heavenly mind and will. Oh, it's not a literal fire that you're facing, but it's hot, isn't it? It's desperately troublesome. It's hard to the flesh, isn't it? You're having to give up so much. But oh, to be blessed with that humble submission, regardless of our feelings, the way we feel about it, regardless of how it's going to affect our circumstances, regardless of the consequences. And as we imagine these three dear men being taken up the steps and across the gantry and thrown, cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. There is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Why this King Nebuchadnezzar, he gets a viewpoint, doesn't he? He can watch. He watches. He watched. He chosen the most mighty men. We read that in the 20th verse, he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. He chose the most mighty men because he was up against an almighty God. But he had to prove, didn't he? He had to prove that he was no match, even these mighty men, that he had to prove that he was no match for a delivering God. For a delivering God. And that's how you prove it, don't you? At times, those things that come into your life, and those that would seek at your harm, and they seem to be so powerful, there seems to be no hope in the matter. And yet, who is a God that can deliver after this sort? Is that your testimony this morning? Is it your longing desire that which the Lord has been pleased to bring you into? That the end will be, there is no other God, I can testify. There is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Well, dear friends, are you and I, Are you and I prepared to stand the test? Oh, we often have to question, don't we? We're left to question, well, why does God permit this? As we think of the war that's raging in the Middle East, and we wonder what the Lord's will is in all of this, and we know that we as a country are threatened, and we're being belittled, and our leaders, how we see them in confusion. We think of our king, that he bowed down to the Pope and prayed. And what has there been since in the monarchy? Things have waxed worse and worse, and our government is going from crisis to crisis. Oh, what if, dear friends, what if these things should lead to a third world war? What if our religious liberties are threatened? What if we come under the hands of a dictator, under the rule of a dictator? Are you and I storing up, as it were, many prayers against such a day? That should there be that dictate, that rule, that command, that we're not to worship, we're to stay at home. Oh, how easily it will happen, won't it, if the Lord permits. As we think of COVID, it only took a broadcast for the Prime Minister and all were to obey. And how much more frightening if from an evil dictator. And so you and I, that we recognise, don't we, that the Lord is pleased in his mercy to chasten us. Dear Paul, in writing to the Hebrews in chapter 12, he says in verse 5, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." Now, what's that preceded with? Consider him that endured such contradictions against such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Now, are you found? Are you found considering a bleeding Jesus? Are you found considering Christ? Are you found seeking communion in your suffering, in your trial, in that which is before you, in that which you're walking in, to have fellowship with a precious Jesus? Oh, the psalmist, he said, didn't he? He said he didn't understand these things. He says, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their ends." Oh, it's easy now not to obey. It's easy now to compromise. But what of eternity? What of eternity? Oh, dear Job, wasn't he? The Lord gave Satan permission to do as he would. But he said, behold, he is in thine hand, but touch not his life. But touch not his life. And you and I, as the enemy plays a pretty tune, and he uses who or what he may, and he seeks to have that drip, drip, drip effect that will succumb. Oh, but to be favoured with, dear Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And perhaps these things that you're in this morning, or you're going to be in, or as you reflect on the past, you would say, as it was with dear Jacob, in effect, this will be the death of me. But oh, dear friends, we bless the chastening hand of God, don't we? Oh, that it is that do we not ask, why? Why is he leaving me? Why is he leaving me to go my own way? Oh, but it is, isn't it, that he chastens his dear people. He chastens his dear people. And so we're brought, aren't we, as Peter speaks of the trial of faith in his first epistle and the first chapter and the seventh verse, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I can't remember the circumstances now. I think it was of a godly lady, and I'm not sure whether it was in her Bible or whether it was in her diary. Can't remember, but that she made various references. I think it was noted in her Bible that she would that it was found there T and P, tried and proved, tried and proved. Oh, that's it, isn't it, dear friends? He's trying us, isn't he? Precious Jesus, we're being tried. And oh, blessed, the blessedness of it, that we're proving it, aren't we? Oh, he knoweth the way that I take, dear Job was to say, wasn't he? And when he has tried me, I shall, there was no doubt about it, I shall come forth as gold. And so, dear friends, there's no experience that you and I go through, sickness, bereavement, family, church, business, work, circumstances, the afflictions of various sorts. Oh, but he says in that, which I believe was our text on the first Lord's Day of this year, in chapter 43 and verse 10. It wasn't that at all, but anyway, it was, Fear not, I am with thee. Fear not, I am with thee. With chapter 41, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. Even this fiery furnace was as nothing. Oh, and so as Jesus said, oh, that he prayed, didn't he? He prayed, Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me. Thou hearest me. Oh, that stone at Lazarus' grave, That stone was rolled away, wasn't it? That stone was rolled away. That which you're in today, or may be in the future, or have been in. Have we not seen that impossibility, that certainty that the fire would consume instantly these three Jews? But deliverance comes, doesn't it? Who is a God that delivereth again like this God? There is no other God that can. And so that stone he rolls away. Yes, the stone of unbelief, but there are many things, aren't there, in the child of God's life that there are impossibilities. Like a stone that's immovable, like it was at the sepulchre. Make it sure, seal it. And so, dear Peter, he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings." And so, as precious Jesus, that he goes to the cross and he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so, as we seek to consider him in these great trials and distresses and troubles of various sorts, oh, to be favoured to consider him and to understand that all his chosen, as the hymn writer puts it, all thy chosen cost thee wounds and blood and smart. In thy bosom safety lodged, thine shall rest from danger free. They shall never more be judged, nor shall condemnation see. Oh, blessed Jesus, let us then rejoice in thee. Well, the Lord helping us, we'll seek to take this up a little further in the evening. Amen.